echo out here. It's pretty nice. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm delighted to have a full church parking lot of folks who want to come out and celebrate the goodness of God, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, to give praise and honor to the one who deserves all glory, honor, and praise, and that is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And to Him we lift up hands and voices and prayers of praise and thanksgiving. And I'm so grateful that you're here. Today I bring you a word from the Scriptures that is not a new word. It's a word that has been around for a long time. And it is a word that has been preached many times before. But in light of the place of our nation, it is a relevant word that I believe needs to be spoken once again. I ask if you would join me in just in a word of prayer, the Spirit's blessing upon these words that will go beyond my lips and into the hearts and minds by the power of the Spirit of God and to all those who would hear. Father, I ask your blessing. Would you anoint the words that come out of my mouth today, that I would just simply be a vessel, and that your name and your mission and your love would be lifted high today as we celebrate you being a good God who has called us to a life of love. Amen. If you've watched the news at all, it hasn't taken you long to find news stories of the condition of our nation wrestling once again with injustice and pride. And injustice has been a problem for our nation for many, many years, but it's also been an issue in humanity for many, many generations and throughout the millennia. So as I said before, I speak a word that is not new, but one that we need, I believe, to hear again. And that is a reminder that as we look at the front of our nation, we are seeing yet again that injustice is a poison in the hearts and the minds and the lives and the homes and the politics of any group of people. That in fact, injustice is a deadly tool which devalues people. Injustice heightens inequality. And by that I mean that it elevates differences. To elevate one as being more valuable than the other. And injustice perpetuates ignorance out of a fear of the unknown. Injustice with violence violates human dignity. The fires of injustice will never be extinguished with fire and looting and violence and threatening and persecution. History has shown us that destruction at the hands of human anger within a nation has never yielded prosperity and resolved its problems. It has only divided a people against one another and perpetuated unrest. In simple terms, sin never brings about peace and unity, only division. Sin never reconciles. It only divides. Sin never builds up. Pride never builds up. Anger in human expression, devaluing other people, perpetuating ignorance, violating human dignity, elevating inequality, it never brings about peace and unity. It only brings about division. If you've watched the news, then you've seen that the lack of wisdom in multiple ways pertaining to the contemporary situation of George Floyd's death and the response by masses of people, that our nation finds itself in a sadly familiar place. And that brings us to today, because today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is a holy day in the life of the Christian church. Today is a timely day for the people of God in response of where we find ourselves yet again. So the story of Pentecost is where I want to take us to today. And if you have your Bible with you, if you want to turn to the book of Acts, I invite you to do that. I want to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. If you want to follow along, feel free to do that as well. As we come to Acts chapter 2, just to set the stage briefly, the disciples are in the upper room and they're being obedient to what Christ had told them to do. He said, go and kind of hunker down and wait until the power of God, the presence of God comes upon you, and then you're going to go out and be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the nations. And so there they are. Of course, Passover has passed, and they are about 50 days past that. And they're gathered together, and Pentecost Day has arrived. And that's where verse 1 picks up in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God, may you bless the reading of your word today for your glory. Amen. When you look at that passage and you listen to that, it's a very interesting, and times can be a passage that's a little struggle to wrestle with that passage, because it gives us some imagery that's a little weird and odd to us. That tongues of fire would come and settle on somebody's head. You know, if that happened today, we would be quick to get a glass of water or a fire extinguisher and try to put that fire out on their head, wondering what in the world is going on here with their hair above their head. Maybe it'd just be me that would try to do that. But being gathered together and having this experience must have been a very odd moment for these believers in Jesus to be going through. What does this mean? What is the significance of this? How in the world does this have anything to do with where we shall move going forward as a group of people that believe in the mission that Jesus has given us, that we're supposed to go and make disciples, right? In the Gospel of Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations. In the Gospel of Mark, He shares it as saying, go out into all the nations, go preach the gospel to all creatures. In the book of Acts chapter 1, which I already alluded to, I read to you, Jesus said, you know, go and hunker down in Jerusalem, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll go be my witnesses. A witness to what? A witness to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the presence of God in our lives. And on that particular day, Christ sent his presence upon them as he said he would do, and as God had already promised through the prophet Joel, God had come upon them, and he inhabited what I believe is the crown jewel of his creation, humanity, mankind. And I want you to notice something about the people that he came and inhabited through their faith. I want you to notice that these are people of different backgrounds. These are people who had come from different walks of life. Some who had come from being fishermen, probably low educated. And yet there were others who were a little bit more refined in their education. And I say refined mostly because for a lot of folks in that culture who had a strong education, they tended to see themselves as being wise above others. Don't know about you, but I've never found that to be a good recipe for building good relationships with other people. These were people who were all different. And no doubt they had different ways of seeing the world around them. And they had different experiences with Jesus. They had different experiences in their own communities. But yet, what we know is that they are all, regardless of their diversity, they were all made in the image of God. We would call that the Imago Dei. And in the book of Genesis, in all that God created, what did he say about his creation? It is good. But injustice rebels against God's creation. Those disciples were diverse. But let us remember that what God did on the day of Pentecost was take a diverse group of people and unite them into a community centered on Christ. It was not a community centered on their race, nor their background, nor their experiences, nor their national affiliation, nor their gender. They were united on one thing, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus that brings us together to be a body of hope and peace and joy in spite of all of our differences. It is the presence of God's Spirit that day at Pentecost that empowered each one to pursue and to proclaim peace right where they were and to then go out to the nations. When the fire of God's Spirit came upon them, they were empowered to live and to love as Christ did. And that same holds true today, that when we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation through Christ, we too are empowered to live and love as Christ did. To pursue peace, to proclaim peace. What does that mean for us today? How many of you today have ever been hurt by somebody else? Just show of hands. I saw a couple people with double hands. All right. So maybe more than once, right? How many of you have been hurt by somebody you didn't know? God calls us to love our enemies. The Spirit of God is the presence and the power of God within us to love our enemies and to do good to those who hurt us. That is hard. For me, I tell you, that's been one of the hardest things that I have had to face. It's hard to choose to love someone who you know in that moment is choosing to devalue you and to disrespect you and to dishonor you and to not see the dignity in you that you believe is there, because you believe that you are created in the image of a good God who has poured his love into the very thread of your being. That is hard. To love in response to inequality and injustice. But here is the message of Pentecost. It is one that says the church must be the example of reconciliation through the Holy Spirit's grace in us. The world has not been tasked with the job of reconciling through its differences above its own strength. It cannot do that because we need the grace of God that comes into us, his strength in us, to pursue reconciliation when it is the very thing that in our own strength we do not want to pursue because it is so difficult. But it is the church who is sanctified, set apart to be the holy people of God, who would choose reconciliation when we would rather choose retribution. Two very powerful R's on different ends of the spectrum. One is about me. And the other is about my God and the message of the cross and the power of the resurrection that is alive in me through my faith. Anybody else find that hard to do? All right, yeah, I bet every hand should go up on that one. It is tough to do. You're strong, but you're not that strong. So what must we rely on? You say grace, and I say you are correct. But I'd also encourage us to pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. We don't have all the answers. The issues of the inequality and injustice that continues to be prevalent within our nation is sort of a rhyme, right? It always looks a little different, but always has the same sort of picture to it. And it seems to be a pattern that continues again and again and again. And the dynamics of it are deep and they are rich, and it is challenging and it is hard, and no one person has all the answers for how to address the issues of our nation. But it is the church of God who has been invited to seek the wisdom of God in order to answer the problems of humanity that are enriched with sin. We have a privilege. And I fear that perhaps we do not rely on our privilege near enough together in community. What must we do? We must listen to understand our neighbor more than to be understood by our neighbor. That's a statement you've heard me say multiple times before. I believe that we must listen to understand our neighbor more than to be understood by our neighbor. That's an act of love. When we seek to be understood through violence, we do violence to human dignity, and we devalue our neighbor because of our own pride. But love is not prideful. It does not boast. In fact, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And this is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ that we hold as the foundational symbol of our faith. It's a reason every Sunday when we're in the sanctuary that I walk over to that cross. I miss doing that with you guys. This is why I walk to that cross, because it is that foundational symbol of our faith that reminds us that we are invited to pivot towards peace and love through grace. Especially in the times when we are tempted to stand and listen and respond to pride or envy or selfishness or greed or lust. To give in to the powers of addiction. But remember, we are the people of God. And we have a story that is not just our story, it is God's story. And that story invites us to be ones who would pursue the peace that comes through God and to proclaim that peace, that there is a way towards peace. But it will never be through the fires of vengeance. It will come through the cleansing, refining fire of the Holy Spirit's grace working through the church. We would fool ourselves to think that the peace of our nation will rest in politics alone. It will help. For governing systems are given to us by God for our good. But it will be the people of God who proclaim the peace of God through the message of Jesus Christ and live in the peace of God with the presence and the power of God that will truly work to bring about the greatest good. I wish I could claim ownership of that idea, but I'm going to have to give it back to the scriptures. I want to read to you from the book of James, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. It is a hard task in front of the church today, but it is our task nonetheless to be a people of peace in the midst of turmoil. In a sense, I think that Pentecost asked the church a question. That if we believe in the power and the presence of God in us and the potential that can come because of that in our community and in our nation, we need to ask ourselves a question. I believe it needs to begin with our families first. What will our legacy be? Will we submissively perpetuate what has been, trusting in others to work towards peace? Or will we pursue a legacy that continues to work as advocates, as peacemakers, who stand up as those who are desiring and hungry to be peacemakers, reconciling for the good of our community, the good of our nation? And not simply because that legacy will be built on a good deed, but because that legacy will be built on the power of Jesus Christ dwelling powerfully and richly within us through our salvation. I firmly believe that the hope of humanity is in Jesus Christ. And Pentecost is a reminder to us that there is a great potential for our world that we have yet to even fully realize. And we must continue to pursue and to proclaim the story of what God has done for us and in us. If you have never chosen to put your faith in Jesus Christ today, or you feel, you know what, I've kind of just done my own thing and I've enjoyed kind of the life of faith, but I'm not sure that I've really dug my feet into an intimacy of closeness with God through Jesus Christ, can I invite you today? Is there any reason that this day would not be a great day to invite Jesus Christ to not only be your Savior, but to be the Lord of peace in your life? If you turn your heart towards Christ, you don't have to have it all together. He's the only one that can perfect in you what is broken. He is the true reconciler. Invite him to bring healing and wholeness within you. And as he's perfecting you in his love, I invite you to share that work with others and to tell the message that there is hope for peace and wholeness and healing in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world, and we are his messengers on this Pentecost Sunday. To God be the glory. Amen. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for those, whether in person this morning, here as we drive in worship, or listening online, or who will listen in the future and hear this message and choose to put their hope in Jesus Christ, to choose to pursue peace, to choose to proclaim a message of salvation through Jesus Christ that truly will bring peace into our nation and to the world, that you will honor that choice and you will bless them. Not only will you reconcile them to yourself, but you will empower their message to be a voice that encourages others to turn to you and receive your healing grace. I ask this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.